once again for you. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come or who is coming, the Almighty. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we meet each other, then we give our greetings to each other. Or we send our greetings in a letter or in an email. Now when we come to church, we meet each other in the presence of our Lord. Then too, we receive greetings. Not just from each other. When we are here in the midst, in the presence of God, we receive greetings from God Almighty. And God's greetings is much greater than ours. Rather, it's totally overwhelming. Greeting us, God blesses us. With his greeting, he, as it were, lays his name upon us. And what a name he has! His name reveals the secrets of life. Where life comes from, how life is supported, and where life goes. It is from God, through God, and again to God. In all that man sees and experiences, indeed he is concerned with the Holy God. However, beloved, from himself, man does not know God as the one who gives life, who maintains life, and who also judges life. Man is searching for those secrets of life, but man is unable to find out that they come from a great God, a God who cannot be compared with anyone else. And that's what God himself revealed, for example, to the Greeks in Athens. You read about it in Acts 17. Where the Lord speaks through Paul on the Areopagus. God reveals himself as the great almighty God of heaven and earth. The Lord God does the same in our text in Revelation 1. Reveals himself to the church. As in fact he does every Sunday when we hear the blessed greetings from him. And doing so then, our faithful and great God gives a beautiful identification, a proclamation of himself. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is coming, the Almighty. Let us listen to what God proclaims here about his name. Scripture gives here an overwhelming revelation of who our holy God is. So this morning, I may serve you with his word as follows. The Lord's blessed self-proclamation, I am the Alpha and the Omega. But let awesome name reveals, first, God's sovereign counsel, secondly, God's loving faithfulness, and in the third place, God's invincible power. So the message of this morning is the Lord's blessed self-proclamation, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And that awesome name in the first place and reveals his sovereign counsel. Congregation, the greeting of the Lord in Revelation 1 is much longer than we focus on this morning. God's greeting mentions the words grace and peace. It also beautifully identifies the Lord Jesus as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of this earth. Furthermore, this greeting warmly expresses that God loves us. He freed us from sins by Jesus' blood, making us into a kingdom of priests. This greeting also affirms and confirms that he is coming with the clouds and to joy for his believers and to sorrow for God's enemies. This greeting is truly a Trinitarian greeting. Greeting from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the oneness of the three persons that is summarized and emphasized here. In this passage, God speaks through his Son, making us into his faithful servants through his Spirit. And yet this divine long greeting, as it were, is framed by, this greeting starts with, and this greeting finishes with, the self-revelation of God, who is and who was and who is coming. You read verse 4. And verse 8. Congregation, this identification of the Lord is loaded with meaning. One easily could fill a book with several hundreds of pages explaining this rich and comforting self-proclamation of our God. And so this morning, you understand, we only can show a little of its significance. And it doesn't matter, though. Since the sermons you already have heard, and the sermons, the Lord willing, you still will hear, all those, they concern the Lord's self-proclamation, his identification as he gives in our text. When he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You may know that Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and the Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And so here God says, I am the A and Z. In our scripture reading, we saw that in three other places, the same identification given to our God and Lord. In verse 17 of chapter 1, 21, 6, and 22, 12. And those scripture passages, scripture gives this interpretation that God is the first and the last, or that he's at the beginning and the end. Now, Revelation is not the only book, congregation, where the Lord gives this name to himself. Through the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, the Lord God also speaks about himself in the same way. In Isaiah, God speaks also about himself as the first and the last. Isaiah 41 verse 4, 43 10, 44 6, and 48 12. Time and again in those chapters and passages, Isaiah refers to the God as the first and the last. Mention those places again, Isaiah 41, 43, 44, and 48. Now you must know that following the usage of the prophet Isaiah, that Isaiah speaks about first and last, that way about God, Jewish writers also used the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet for God. Not only the Jews did, also, most interestingly, the Greeks too. The Greeks used symbolic letters to describe their gods. And when then the first letter was used for a god, they recognized it as a supreme deity. And they even used that phrase, the first and the last, for their god. And so we understand that this phrase was common vocabulary in describing a god. Describing a god, however, beloved, the God of Scripture was, is, and never will be a God. He is the only one. There is no one greater than the God, the Lord, your God, congregation. And so the phrase Alpha and Omega expresses that nothing exists without Him. God holds all things in His hand, even our own puny existence. All things have and find, you yourself find your purpose in God. And so this phrase concerns the sovereign counsel of our God. As our Heidelberg Catechism says in Lord's Day 9, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who out of nothing created heaven and earth, and all that is in them, everything, He still upholds and governs them by His eternal counsel and providence. It also means, congregation, that the Son of God, out of the whole human race, from the very beginning of this world to its very, very, very end, gathers, defends, preserves for Himself by His Spirit and Word in the unity of true faith, a church. So we are involved in that whole work of God from the beginning to the end, people chosen to everlasting life. Much and much more can be said about the sovereign counsel of God. For example, that the Lord Himself is our chief prophet and priest, chief prophet and teacher, I should say. The Lord Jesus has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God unto our salvation. In fact, the prophet Isaiah repeatedly points to God's sovereign counsel regarding the complete salvation for God's people, and then also using that same phrase for God as being the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega. Time and again, the prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord is your helper. The Lord, Israel, is your helper. He is Israel's only Savior." Their God is not a God. Their God is not an idol, nothing. He is Israel's King, a Redeemer. And apart from Him, there is no God. The prophet says, "With my own hand," that's what the Lord says through the prophet, "with my own hand I lay the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. I am the Lord your God." It is a theme throughout God's word. I am the Lord your God. And you know that God also challenged Job on this very, very point. That God said to Job, and Job dared even to talk back to God. And then the Lord God says, "Who are you, Job?" Who are you? Where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? You read it in Job 38. God indicates there to him, to Job, that no one was there to assist or direct God. You see, I am the Alpha and the Omega truly reveals the sovereign counsel of God of heaven and earth. He, God, so to speak, he himself made the blueprint of everything. He provided all the materials. He gave it form and cemented it all together as a beautiful cosmos. He filled it with all its riches that you still may enjoy. He did so with divine pleasure and with great joy. In his wisdom, he made man in his image. And made man steward, manager over all things. When God's opponent and Satan, when Satan obstructed God's work, spoiling it with his evil and darkness, then the Holy God was immediately ready to save his work. Immediately continuing executing his sovereign counsel in his work of recreation and restoration. God started with earth and heaven and all that is in it. God will finish it too. God started with his church and will complete it. He started with creating and renewing us. He will perfect us. God is an overflowing fountain of good to us. A revelation that indeed is overwhelming. By renewing us then, giving us the grace of his Holy Spirit, he makes us into his workers, ministers, his co-workers. As he did to his people in the seven churches of Asia, just read on in chapter 1 and 2. As God did to his people in seven churches in Asia, making them his servants. So God has appointed and ordained us as his responsible people to live and work for him. That means that we have our significance. Everyone, young people here too, we have significance. We are not just nobodies, not at all. We have significance in the God who is the Alpha and the Omega. We have it from him and through him and to him. Oh, brothers and sisters, young and old, the truth that God holds all things in his hand by his eternal counsel means we don't have just only something to hang on to. Something to hang on to in our life, a life that is constantly threatened by difficulties and sorrows and even death. On the contrary, in life and in death, when we are young, when we are old, we hold on to, we hang on to our sovereign God, the Alpha, the Omega. And his joy is our joy. Yes, that is the Alpha and Omega that God gives himself in great pleasures. In the Old Testament, he showed his joy already in the many feasts of redemption. He also let his joy sound loud and clear at the birth of his son. Then the choir of angels, the choir of heaven, performed to his glory. Well, the same happens today. Here also in worship of God's people in Christ's church. The same praise God still receives from us who shelter with Him, who come near to Him in worship, expressing our confidence with the psalmist also of Psalm 138, that the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Never forget that, beloved. God, because He's the Alpha and the Omega, a sovereign God, He will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. And we know the ultimate purpose of God's plan and counsel for us. The end of the book of Revelation shows our glorious life in the new city, Jerusalem. So, congregation, be assured that purpose, God's purpose for us, for you, that purpose will be reached. He's the Alpha and the Omega, that nothing and nobody will be able to ruin God's counsel for us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. It is awesome. Furthermore, the text also has an addition to the Alpha and Omega. It says about God who is and who was and who is to come or who is coming. It's the revelation, that addition gives a further characterization of our Almighty God. You see, we have made a transition to a second point. Once again, congregation, it is intriguing that the Greek world of that time similar characterizations gave to their gods. For example, in a Greek temple, we can read, it has an inscription like this: I am all that has come into being, and I am all that which is and that which shall be. Virtually the same. With a Greek poet, we find this phrase regarding a most important Greek god. It said of him that Zeus, very important, the upper god, so to speak, in the Greek world, Zeus is, and Zeus shall be. Same kind of us, who is and who was and who comes. I again refer to what Paul experienced in the Greek city of Athens, Acts 17. That passage shows that a pagan and heathen world had some inkling about the existence of an higher and holy being. Sure. But their gods were pagan gods. Their gods were seen as having similar desires and lusts and whims as humans have. And so one actually never knew what they were up to with their gods. The Greek gods were unreliable and unpredictable. Their religion truly was a myth. Now, other world religions, the religions of today, might be more divine. Yet the gods of modern religions of today, they lay heavy burdens on their worshippers, treating them as slaves. For people have to make themselves worthy before their God. In the religions of today, people have to redeem themselves. How different the God of Scripture is. How different the triune God of Scripture is. He reveals Himself as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God as Father truly cares for His people. God as Son completely redeems them from all evil. God the Holy Spirit totally, radically regenerates, renews us. God is faithful to His people. He is to them as He was from the beginning. Beloved, after Satan tried to stop God in His tracks, the Lord God remained the same in his love and faithfulness, providing Adam and Eve, man, us, with all we need. Through the situation of God's people changed. God never changes. God, the beginning did not change. He doesn't do so today. He keeps his personal covenant relation with those who are his children, with us. He is who he was. He will be who he is. If we read the biblical record of God's loving faithfulness to his people, we see the overwhelming truth of God's unchanging loving faithfulness throughout. He certainly was not thrown for a loop when in paradise Satan tried to block him with his evil onslaught on man. Not at all. God maintained man's task. God maintained man's position in this world. All God's work continued to shine forth his power, wisdom, and riches. And so every day, beloved, young and old, every day when we open our eyes, we witness and we experience God's loving faithfulness. How great a God he is. He is who he was. He will be who he is. By what is emphasized so far, we see that this phrase means much more than merely stating that God is an eternal God. There could be a first reaction by reading that phrase, merely thinking of him as the God who is and was to come, as the God from the past, the present, and the future. A God who also is incomprehensible, invisible, infinite, and far beyond our reach. However true that may be, yet this great God reveals that he is not a distant God. He's not a God from afar. A God who is aloof. Not at all. He is always present near his children, even now, always keeping his promise, even now. Actually, the phrase of him who is and who was and who is coming should remind us actually of another event recorded in Scripture. A self-identification of God. Which event? Which event in the Old Testament comes now into our mind when we read this self-proclamation of God in Revelation 1? Of course, in principle, God revealed his loving faithfulness already to Moses in Exodus 3 in the burning bush. There the Lord revealed himself, in fact, that the bush just didn't disappear, even though that bush was at fire and on fire. No. There in Exodus 3, God revealed his name as I am who I am. That means also I am the faithful covenant God to my people. I faithfully follow up my word and promises. And you know, God did so time and again, even though God had to burn away a lot of dead branches, thorns and thistles among and from his people. And so, congregation, in our text, we are concerned with a further unfolding of God's name given in Exodus 3. That God will honor his name. Indicating who he truly is, the loving and faithful God. He is always at hand, near, fulfilling the purpose for his people. He is the first and the last. He is who he was. He will be who He is. He is the way through a burning bush, establishing His truth, giving, protecting, saving life. Way, truth, life. What do these words remind us of? It is in one of the self-identification of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14. I am, again, an I am expression. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And think further of the many other I am sayings. As I am, the children know also that I am. I am the good shepherd. Or I am the door, revealing the overwhelming truth that God will be and keep His purpose for us, His people. The writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 confirms God's loving faithfulness, referring to what God has said. There we read in Hebrews 13, "Never will I leave you." Loving faithfulness. "Never will I forsake you." And so with confidence we can say, "The Lord is my helper." An echo from the prophet Isaiah. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And after having referred to God's servants who spoke the word of God to them, then we'll read in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is, He was. He will be who He is. He is. And who was. And who is coming. Oh, beloved, in the whole of your life, the whole of your life and your ups and downs, with its tensions and struggles, with your pain and your hurt, and a world that more and more becomes anti-Christian. In such a world, in such a life, be comforted. Humbly hold on to the only source of life and joy. The one God who is the Alpha, the Omega. The Lord God who is and who was and who is to come. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for you. His steadfast love endures forever. Remember how the Lord assured us of His faithfulness when He ascended into heaven in the throne of the Father. Then again He spoke one of His I am sayings. "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age." And what will happen thereafter? What will happen at the end of this world? Will then everything and everybody going up in smoke, turning into dust, be finished, collapsing everything in catastrophic and apocalyptic destruction? Not at all, congregation. Never forget who your God is. He is your awesome, sovereign God. He is your loving God who faithfully carries out His word and promises. Know, congregation, that your God is always greater than you can think. Know that your God is always greater than you think. He is the Almighty, as the last part of our text confirms. Our third point. It shows God's invincible power. Here in Greek, the word Almighty is pentokrator. That means, literally it means pentokrator, the Almighty, the One. The One who has His hand on everything. Well, that name aptly summarizes what we have heard so far. The God of heaven and earth, rules and controls everything. He faithfully and unchangingly follows his divine counsel, plan and purpose. He will bring it, not to destruction, not at all. He will bring it to perfection. God truly is doing so with a strong and a mighty arm or a hand. In the past, he has shown that to the Egyptians. He has shown it to the Canaanites. Also, he will show that at the day of Christ, as he did at Christ's resurrection. Many more occasions it can be referred to on which the Lord's enemies were startled because of God's mighty hand. They were dumbfounded. They were even in despair because of the powerful acts of our God. And you know, God's great and mighty deeds often are accompanied by earth-shaking powers. If we continue to read through the book of Revelation, we hear that that will happen again. The earth will open its mouth. The thunder of horse hoofbeats will be heard. Deafening noise, terrible plagues and darkness will be poured out upon the earth. With trumpet blasts, God will come to his great day. And yet, congregation, for the sake of his own name and joy, his creation, all that is around us, will not turn to dust. It all won't go up in smoke. The holy God of Israel, the Lord God Almighty of the new covenant, will reveal his heavenly city, Jerusalem, on a renewed earth. He is the one to come. He is coming soon. Our sovereign, faithful and invincible God will eternally live in majestic glory with his beloved children. And then the old order of things will have passed away. With invincible power, the Almighty will move forward. He will strike down all that has put blame on his holy greatness. Those who have washed their robes in Christ's blood will not be any longer in the city, in the world where the throne of Satan is, where the dogs are, and those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices deceit, falsehood. Because they all think high and mighty of themselves. No, they all will be collected as weeds to be burned. The Lord still comes through a burning bush. The wheat, now we have a tea, the wheat, his people, you know, his wheat will be stored in God's granary, Matthew 13. Oh, beloved, young and old, beloved, worship and continue to adore your God. Always draw near to him, not as you think he is, but as he has revealed himself who he is, the Almighty. He is the invincible. He powerfully comes from his Alpha to the Omega. Does he reveal himself to be in paradise? He also was powerfully on the move, as you know, with Noah and Abraham. And so he came to Israel, invincibly moving from Egypt to Canaan. And there he repeatedly he came to his Old Testament people through judges, prophets, kings, invincibly preserving for himself a people who were looking forward to God's kingdom from heaven. And at the appointed time of his eternal counsel, the king, the prince of peace, came to this earth in his son, Jesus Christ. He came to the nations through his word and spirit, gathering his children from the ends of the world, gathering us, including young and old, invincibly. That's how we sit here before his face. He invincibly, he snatched us away from the evil power of the devil, the enemy. As you see, time and again, he came and still comes to us. God Almighty, giving us his blessings, preparing us for his coming, the return on the clouds. Again, the call is clear of your Almighty God. Keep your great God of heaven and earth in great awe. Continue to worship him in his world, a world in which you live, a world ruled by the prince of darkness still. And that's why we see evil doers continue to do wrong. Think of the abortion around us, condoning it, abolishing holy marriage, in scorn, talking back to God, denigrating his greatness, belittle the great God. He who is vile continues to be vile, we read. And think then of today's sexual licentiousness, the evil of pornography, trampling God's designs of life to the ground. Yes, the whole creation is groaning, crying out, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, that glory is now already revealed in us through Jesus Christ. It will be fully perfected at the Lord's coming. And that's why in Revelation 22, the Lord says to us, let him who is righteous be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I'm coming quickly. And what a feast that will be. Yes, listen to what the Lord also says. And my reward will be with me, is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Yes, he is the invincible. He is the Almighty. Blessed are those who wash their robes, who wash them in the blood of Christ, who purify themselves through Christ, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may go through the gates into the city of God. Through the invincible power of God, that way to the city of God is open to us. And that gate is open to us. And we long to partake in God's glorious and heavenly life. The sovereign, the loving and faithful God, the invincible God, will never forsake us, will never forsake you. And that's why we do not think small of our God. Why we don't have our own ideas about God and the future. But being overwhelmed by the greatness of our Almighty God, we humbly bow our heads in deep awe through Christ's Spirit, rejoicing in his announcement, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And pray.